In Acts chapter 9, so open your Bible to Acts chapter 9, and we'll be going the first 22 verses, so let's open our Bibles, and you can follow along while I read. But Saul, still breathing threats of and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered him, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who had made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Last week, if you'll recall, Evan pointed out that we need to see change because of our meeting with Jesus. And today, we're going to see such a wonderful conversion take place. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray that as we go into your word, you will open our hearts. You will help us to hear and to see what you have to tell us, and that you will guide us to understand the things that you have put before us. We ask all this so that Jesus is glorified. Amen. So Saul is doing everything in his power to destroy the church. And he now asks the chief priests for letters so that he can go to Damascus and continue his work. Now, Damascus is about 135 miles northeast from Jerusalem. So it's not a really close place. And probably took him 5 or 6 days on horse to get there. And it's speculated that in the city of Damascus, there were between 30 and 40 synagogues. A synagogue is kind of like a congregation, like a church. And so there were 30 or 40 of those there. And he intended to go to each one and to hunt out believers of Jesus. And he was going to bring them bound back to stand trial before the chief priests. And the believers who had left Jerusalem, remember last week we were talking about the persecution that took place. So the believers were leaving Jerusalem, and some of them would have gone to Damascus. And they would have resided there instead. And so he was heading there to hunt them down. And to receive authority from the council was no small thing. It gave him the ability to go into those synagogues to find believers, to bind them, and to bring them back to Jerusalem. I was reading, and it says that Charles Spurgeon once said, he was sure that when Saul was on his way to Damascus, he sat high on his horse. But in just a few minutes, he was brought low to the ground. It says that suddenly a bright light shone around him, and Paul was knocked off his horse. He was knocked off not because of the bright light per se, but because he met Jesus Christ. Because God presented himself before him on the road to Damascus. It's not a physical thing, but it's a physical outcome because he saw Jesus. He heard him. He saw the light. He heard his voice. Saul hears the voice calling to him. The men who are with him hear the voice, but it says they don't understand it as a voice. They hear it. They know it's there. They don't see anything going on. But they don't really understand the words as Paul does. But Paul clearly hears somebody calling to him. And they say, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, imagine Saul. He's got to be at a loss right here. What do you mean, why am I persecuting you? First of all, he doesn't know who it is. But second of all, imagine what's going on in his mind. He thinks he's doing a great work. He's serving the temple. He's serving the Israelites. He's serving the chief priests. He's hunting down this group of people, this sect that is destroying Israel. This is his mindset. He thinks that the sect of people who are worshiping Jesus are hurting his people. They're hurting Israel. This is his mindset. We have to understand it when we walk into this. Saul has this mindset. And so he comes to this. So when the voice says, why are you persecuting me? He's kind of at a loss. He says, what do you mean? Why am I persecuting? Who are you? And then imagine the shock that goes through his brain. When the voice says, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting. The very one who you are fighting against, Saul, that's me. Now, things happen here. First of all, in Saul's mind, Jesus is a dead rabbi. Okay? Jesus is a dead teacher. He was killed on a cross. He was buried. Saul has never seen him since. Therefore, he's not a believer in who Jesus is. So in Saul's mind, Jesus is dead. So imagine the shock when the voice comes to him and says, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Saul must have been dumbfounded at this. You see, Saul thought he was serving God, and he loved God, and he loved Israel, and he worshiped God, and he thought he was doing the work of God. And now he finds out that he's fighting against the very one he loves. He's fighting against the God he worships. And Jesus tells Saul, you go into the city, and you'll be instructed there. So Saul gets up, and because he's now blind, he has to be led into the city by the hand. What a change. 10 minutes ago, Saul is riding high on his horse, and now he's being led into the city like a child. I can't see. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. I am so confused. Right? And he goes in. And it says that Saul spent 3 days. He was blind. He was praying. And he was fasting. It says he didn't eat or drink anything. He fasted for 3 days. He was praying for 3 days. We know because Ananias is told. Saul has been there and he's been praying. And imagine what's going on. This is the change in Saul. He's realizing that Jesus is not dead. He's realizing that Jesus is the Messiah. He's putting together all the things that are in his brain. Remember, Saul is no dummy. Saul is a Pharisee. Saul was trained by Gamaliel. Saul is a well-learned man in Judaism. He knows what the word said. He knows the scriptures. He knows the prophecies. He knows the promises of God. And now it's all coming together for him. In 3 days while he's there, he begins to understand everything that Stephen had said about Jesus Christ was right. Remember, he was there. He stood while they stoned Stephen. He would have listened to Stephen's speech. Saul was a Pharisee, would have been sitting in that council. He would have heard what Stephen had said. He would have heard how Stephen had talked about Jesus Christ. He would have heard how Stephen had talked about the Israelites and what they had done and how he had recounted the history. And Saul would have been one who might have stood there and nodded his head. But he would have heard some of that. And now he's putting it all together and he's going, this is true. This Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the promised one. Amen. And he's in his mind going, I can't believe I was such a dunce. And yet, now it's coming there. And you know what? We all go through that conversion. We all go through that time when we go, wow, this guy Jesus is for real. He really is. He really did love me. He really does love me. He really did die on the cross for me. I can be in relationship with him forever. And that's what Saul is going through here. He begins to understand that the law showed us that we needed salvation, but it didn't provide salvation. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. And we know all this was going on because in verse 20 it tells us that as soon as he went out, he began to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. God changed Saul's heart. I want to share something with you from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. I want you to listen to what Ezekiel writes and says. He's talking about what God will do when he puts his spirit within us. And he says, God says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You see, while Saul is here and he's blind and he's praying, God is replacing his heart. He's doing heart surgery on Saul. He's taking his heart of stone out and he's putting in a heart of flesh. He's putting in a heart of God. He's changing Saul. Saul will never be the same. Because he has a new heart, one that loves God. And so Ezekiel warns or tells us that that's what's going to happen. And now we move on. The conversion has taken place. But now we move on. And the scriptures tell us, now there's a man named Ananias. And he lives in Damascus. And God went to him in a vision. And he calls Ananias. And here Ananias gives the proper answer. So I want you to listen to this. When God calls you, here is the proper answer. Here I am. You want to know how I know that? Go back and look in 1 Samuel chapter 3. You can do that this afternoon. You can read chapter 3. But in chapter 3, Samuel, who is a little boy, is sleeping in the temple area with Eli the priest. And God calls his name. It's a great story because Samuel gets up and he runs into Eli. Yes, what do you want? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Okay. Then he hears Samuel. He runs into Eli. Yes, what do you want? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Now Samuel's going, you're an old man. You're losing it. But Samuel has heard from Eli, and Eli says to him, I know what this is. The next time that you hear the voice, you say, here I am, Lord. Speak to me. And Eli goes back, and sure enough, God calls him again, and this time he says, here I am. Speak to me. The proper answer is, here I am. In Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah is before God. And God says, who will we send? And Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. When God calls us, the right answer is, here I am. Send me. And God tells Ananias, I want you to go to Straight Street. And I want you to find Saul of Tarsus. And God says, Saul has been praying and he has seen a vision. And this is great. He says, and in the vision, he saw you, Ananias. He saw a man named Ananias come and lay hands on him so that he could regain his sight. Isn't it great? God tells Saul, hey, Saul, this guy named Ananias is going to come and see you. Then he goes to Ananias. He says, Ananias, Saul is expecting you. You need to get there. What a great way God works. Now, it's not always that clear. You know, we saw Philip. What did God say to Philip? Just go on the road. Go down to Gaza. Get on the road. He didn't tell him what he was going to do. He didn't tell him who he was going to see. He didn't tell him anything that was going to go on. He just said, get on the road. I'll give you instructions along the way. But here, he's specific. He says, Ananias, I want you to go see Paul. And he tells Paul, Paul, you're expecting a visitor. His name is Ananias. And we're going to see this happen again in another chapter, in chapter 10. And I won't give a spoiler alert, but we're going to see it again. So just watch for it. But here we see Ananias coming to see Saul. But Ananias stops first. And this I love about Ananias because I think I'm more like this than I am like Philip. Ananias, he doesn't say no to God, but he points out to God his confusion. He says, God, do you know who Saul is? Like God doesn't know. But he says, isn't this the guy who came down from Jerusalem to capture believers, to bind them, to take them before the council to stand trial, some of whom might be killed? You know, this is the guy you're sending me to see. And so God says to him, in verse 16, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. He says, I know who he is, Ananias. He's my instrument. He's my instrument. I'm going to send him before the Gentiles and before kings and before the people of Israel, and he is going to suffer for my name. I want us to realize that we are all going to suffer for Jesus' name in one way or another, in different levels, at different things, but we are going to suffer because the world hated Jesus and they will hate us. And so suffering comes with the territory. James didn't tell us if you ever have trials. No, what did he say? When you have trials. Because guess what? If you're a believer, you're going to have trials. And it's going to come to you. Now, Ananias, did act just like Philip at this point, because it says he got up and he went. He didn't beat around the bush. He did ask God a question. Nothing wrong with that. But he didn't stop. He didn't say, well, I'll think about it. Lord, call me on Wednesday. I'll let you know if I'm free next weekend. He said, no, I'm going to go because God said, so here I go. And he went to Saul and he found him in his house. And it tells, and he tells Saul that the same Jesus who Saul met on the road to Damascus is the one who told him to come and lay hands on him so that the sight would be regained and so that the Holy Spirit would fill Saul. And as soon as he did that, it says that Saul got up and was baptized and he ate food, he strengthened himself, and he was ready to work. And it tells us that he went right out and began to proclaim Jesus as the Son of God. You know, in Joel 2:32, it tells us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not everybody who says Jesus was a nice man. Not everybody who says Jesus was a prophet. Not even everyone who says, yeah, he was a good teacher. Everyone who calls on the name of God. Everyone who comes and presents themselves. Everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will be saved. We need to take something note of something that's especially important here. I want you to see this because it pertains to you. Ananias was not an apostle. He had never met an apostle. No apostle had laid their hands on Ananias. Nobody had prayed over him. He hadn't gone to Bible college for 3 or 4 years. He hadn't written a thesis. He hadn't done any of that. He was just a guy who believed Jesus. He's just like you and me. He was likely a Jewish believer who lived there in Damascus and was being used by God to go to Saul and share the gospel. He was not unique in any way except that God said, go, and he said, here I am, send me. To show God's kindness to Saul is why he went, to lay his hands on him, to allow God to work through him. He says that it is so Saul may regain his sight and receive the Holy Spirit, because that's what God told him to do. He's a lay person. He's just like us, and the gospel is shared by ordinary people. The gospel is shared by you and me. We are to be trained up in the church to share the gospel. We are not to be trained up to sit in chairs and take up space. We are trained up to go into the world and to share the gospel. And that's what Ananias is doing. And I want you to see how he approaches Saul. Now remember who Saul is and remember who Ananias is. Saul is a killer. He is a man with authority. He has the authority and the ability to arrest you, put you in fetters, take you to Jerusalem, and have you tried. And Ananias is just a guy living in Damascus. And Ananias walks into Saul, the killer, the evil guy, and he looks at him and he goes, Brother Saul. Can you imagine how that must have sounded to Saul? Brother Saul, Jesus told me to come to you. How awesome that is. Jesus told me to come to you and to share the gospel and to lay my hands on you because he has work for you to do. Isn't that cool? He wasn't mean to him. He wasn't harsh to him. He didn't say, boy, are you going to get it? He said, Brother Saul, the same Jesus you met on the road to Damascus is the one who called me and told me to come and see you. It's an awesome thing. to be obedient to God's call, no matter how unusual or how odd the request might be. God says, go. And we say, here I am, send me. Saul proclaims the gospel to the people in Damascus. He shows them that Jesus is the Son. Imagine the confusion that must have gone on in Damascus, not just in Ananias, but in all of the people who were there. They're going, isn't this the guy who made havoc in Jerusalem? Isn't this the same Saul? And yet now he's here proclaiming Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's telling us the very thing that we already believe, if we're believers. And yet, he's not the person that we thought he was. I'm confused. And here it takes a point where we want to stop for a minute, and here's the reason. In the letter to the Galatian church, in chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, Paul, is recounting to the Galatian church about his conversion, about this very event. And he tells us there that he left Damascus and he went out into the desert of Arabia and he spent time there with Jesus. And that he then returned to Damascus and from there he went up to Jerusalem. None of that is written here in Luke's account for us. We only get it because we read it in Saul's letter to the Galatian church. And so it's kind of interesting because as I was studying, most scholars put that right in between verse 21 and 22. So if you were reading, you'd stop at verse 21 and you go, at that point, Saul left and went out into the desert of Arabia, and then he came back to Damascus, and then you'd go on from there. And he went up to Jerusalem and he met the apostles. And we're going to see about that next week. But what's interesting to me is we don't really know how long he was gone. What we do know is Saul says that it was about 3 years before he went up to Jerusalem. So we don't know how long he was in the desert, how long he was in Damascus, how long he was there when he came back and before he went. But there was 3 years in that time period. And the only thing I thought was interesting was Jesus spent 3 years with the apostles, training them and teaching them so that they would be prepared. And Saul goes away and there's 3 years that go by before he really begins his ministry for God there. So take that for whatever it's worth. Not much. But what we see here is not just the conversion of Saul. What we see here is Ananias, a regular guy living in Damascus, who says, here I am. I'll go. If that's what you call me to do, God, that's what I'll do. And that's what we want to take away this morning. I want you to realize that God calls all of us to go and share the gospel. This isn't really a story about Saul yet, even though he's the character there. This is a story about Ananias who goes and does what God calls him to do without knowing exactly what's going on. And he goes out. He hasn't had hands laid on him. He doesn't have the power of the apostles that they had. But he does know Jesus Christ. And he says, God, if you want me to go, I'll go. And I want us to take that away. We want to have the obedience and faith of Ananias, who trusts that God is in control and will take care of everything without Ananias's insight. Rarely do we know what God has in store when he calls us. He doesn't tell us. I think if he did tell us, we might not do the things that we're supposed to do. Do you think if Stephen had gotten up that morning and God had said, today's going to be a short day for you, Stephen? I don't think Stephen would have been very excited about the day. I don't think he would have shied away from it. But God doesn't usually tell us what he's going to do. He just tells us to go. And he walks with us, and he guides us, and the Holy Spirit fills us and leads us, and we do the things that he called us to do. The result was a small change in one man, and he will begin a ministry that God will use to change the world. Saul is going to become the greatest missionary that the church has seen. And it starts on the road to Damascus, and a guy named Ananias who said, here I am. Edward Everett Hale said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because you are always with us. You never leave us alone. You never forsake us. We always have you by our side. No matter what we face, Father, no matter where you call us to go, no matter what you ask us to do, we will never be alone. For you are always with us. I pray that you will give us boldness every day, strength in our heart to do the things that you call us to do, to not shy away, but to speak the truth, to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who need to hear it. Father, I pray that you will put the words in our mouth, that we will speak your truth, that we will share everything that we need to share, that we will go where we need to go and do what we need to do, that we will be your people and we will be obedient to you, so that in doing the things that you have called us, we will bring glory and honor to your name. We ask all this, God, in Jesus' name. For he is our Lord and our Master. Amen.